What's up? This is Taman.
It's Tyrese.
And you are tuned in to the Lazy Dads, your number one sports podcast for
number one.
Like to talk. Hey, dudes that like to talk shit, we are the number one podcast.
As long as, you know, you are what you say you are, you know?
Hey, you got to put it out there, man. Got to speak it into existence.
Hey. Yep.
So what's going on, man? How's Northern Virginia treating you?
You don't hear all this rain? Can you hear the rain?
No, actually, I can't, but I was going to ask you the exact same thing because it's coming down pretty hard here, too.
Yeah, it's nonstop. I'd rather it be rain than a bunch of snow. I looked on the radar. Yeah. It's supposed to be raining for the next, 3-4 hours, so ain't shit to do. Yeah. Just chilling in the RV like usual.
Work.
You know, drinking Wawa Refresher.
Wawa. What flavor you got?
Strawberry, dragon fruit punch, mango. I don't know. It's got some strawberries in it, though. I don't know. I just made up some shit, but it got strawberries in it, though. And I saw dragon fruit was on the menu, so maybe that's. I don't know. I don't remember what I got. I've been drinking on it since the game started. Or no, I went at halftime and got a snack from Wawa because I didn't feel like cooking because it's raining.
Okay.
And I mostly on the grill, so.
What you eating on tonight?
I don't know. So that's the thing. I usually do all my cooking in the RV, on the grill. And now they're going to make me fire up the stove, and I don't want to.
Well, I was just about to ask. I know you have a stove in there, but so you don't typically use it because it smells up the
dishes.
RV.
No, because I don't want to do dishes.
Oh, well, okay, well.
I have a massive fan in the middle of the RV that I can turn on and it just takes everything out. But I don't want to turn on I don't want to do dishes. So if I cook on the grill, which I prefer cooking on the grill anyway, I can just wash the tongs, wash the cutting board that I use, and then, you know what I'm saying, just eat. But if I use the stove, I got skillets and shit I got to wash. That's too much. So, you know, if I just use the grill, I'm straight, but it's raining and I don't feel like opening up my awning. So, you know, really my laziness is winning right now.
I was about to say, it sounds like laziness is winning the day. But it's cool. It's Saturday. It's raining.
I belong on this podcast because laziness wins out quite often.
Like I said,
I don't know.
Podcast.
I got a quesadilla from Wawa. And that's probably gonna be it. I got some Oreos. Probably have some Oreos for dinner. You know, I'm struggling out
horrible,
here. You know?
Horrible. Yeah, I see.
I know it's terrible. I'm living I'm living like the world's worst bachelor. It's terrible.
Hey man, so, gotta do what you gotta do sometimes, man.
It's different, man. With the kids and stuff around. I'd be like, oh, let me make a good meal. Let me, you know what I'm saying? But now I'm up here working and I'm by myself. And it's like, I'll probably drink some chocolate milk and call it a day. I don't fucking know.
Chocolate milk. Oh,
yeah, I don't know. Hit all the gym and have a protein shake and some Oreos and that's dinner.
Well, I mean, that as long as you're working out, I was going to say something about the Oreos earlier, but I mean, I just thought about it. As long as you're working out and you're actually, burning calories.
I deadlift 325 this morning. We straight.
Word.
I've afforded myself a couple Oreos today.
Hey, there you go. That's what's up. As long as you know what's
deadlift,
up.
Slight flux on my deadlift. All right. Mix, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard you. I was gonna let you shine. I wasn't gonna say nothing.
It's really not that much. So it's probably some true workout people who are 325, that ain't shit. But for me, 325 is a lot. So
hey man,
we talked about this last time. I'm not flexible, so all that it hurts. So I'm good with that. I'm good with 325. That's a dub for me.
Hey,
you know, especially since, the inflation has hit everything, including the weight room. So everybody has to inflate all their weightlifting. Like when I was deployed, man, it was motherfuckers. They was deadlifting 500 pounds. One dude that I worked with, he deadlift 565. I'm like, man, that shit sounds terrible. That shit sounds terrible.
Hey, man. But, more power to them.
That's what I say.
More power to them. All right, man. So what we got on the show today for these good people?
So I saw more people shitting on Florida State. And I mean, you want to clown them for getting beat. That's cool. But they were shitting on them. Even one of my favorite people ever, Michael Wilbon, he was shitting on them pretty hard. But I don't know, man. I just don't see it from the same point of view that they do. So we're going to dive into that a little deeper. Bringing up the SMU move to the ACC and them not getting paid. NCAA got a new deal with ESPN.
All, apparently.
We're going to preview the Michigan-Washington game and talk about Harbaugh's future. And then, you know, I guess it's about that time we transition to the NBA. So we'll get into that a little bit. Not much.
It is after Christmas.
I know, right? I haven't paid attention too much to the NBA.
Yeah.
Besides gambling.
I typically dive in around Christmas, which means this past week I actually started paying attention.
Honestly, I usually don't even pay attention like heavy until after the trade deadline.
Trade deadline,
yeah. All-star game time frame. Because, you know, I'm still heavy. I'm heavy into college football. Then I transition to college basketball. And I'm usually heavy into the NFL, but like really, I've really only been in the NFL for gambling and fantasy football. So I really, you know, kind of been losing my, like, I don't even watch the NFL like that.
Oh, come on, man.
I pay attention, but don't
the Steelers and Ravens come on at 4:15.
The Ravens are sitting, like 12 people. The Ravens are sitting like 12 people. So. Like I bet Pittsburgh +3 because the Ravens are sitting everybody. I think
they're gonna win. It's just a matter of the help. So we need the Colts and Texans to tie and Jacksonville to lose something like that. No, probably not. But
a tie, hey, man, you're hoping on a hope. Tie? That's crazy.
Gotta have it's actually like three different scenarios.
Okay.
But I mean, I think it's that they can't tie.
I lied. The Steelers are -3. My bad. But yeah, I still took the bet. But
yeah. Excuse me. They can't tie.
For us
to get in. So yeah, it's a bunch of crazy stuff. But yeah. Hey, man, go Steelers. Any Steelers fans out there, I feel your pain.
Big Steelers fan today. I bet the Steelers -3. So, you know, let's go black and gold. And then I also bet Najee Harris a touchdown. So, you know, bet him an anytime touchdown. So, hey, let's go. Let's go Steelers. You know, that's what I'm hoping for. But then, everybody been shitting on Florida State, right? Because they lost. They got smacked, which rightfully so. But they are shitting on the culture of Florida State, which is crazy.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense because you can be upset that, you know, they rolled over and, you know, they didn't show up or whatever. But you have to understand where they're coming from. And I don't think people are looking at it from their point of view. So especially for me as a person who gave Florida State hell when they didn't fire Norvell after two seasons, because they fired Willie Taggart after two seasons and they had similar records. So actually, I think Willie Taggart may have won one more game. They both had terrible records after two seasons, but they gave Norvell an extra year, but they didn't give Willie Taggart that extra year. So I gave them hell on our show, like, what, damn, that was like 3 years ago. So like when we first started, I gave them hell for that.
So this was
2021. So yeah, 2 years ago. So the reason I understand where the Florida State people are coming from is this was a true build up to get to where they are. So their first season under Norvell, they went 3-6. Their second season, they went 5-7. Their third season, they went 10-3. And this year, they went 13-1. Like, this was their year. This was all of his first recruiting class. This was their senior year. They put they legit bought in, built this thing from the ground up. Like, they won 3 games that first year. They built this thing from the ground up. And, like, this was a culmination. And they felt like, you know, they took it from us.
It got stolen from them. Yeah.
Right. So a bunch of players set out. On the flip side, their opponent, Georgia is
almost the exact opposite.
So Georgia, like, they're not even rebuilding. They're retooling. Georgia lost 21 players to the portal and then another 10 or 11 to the draft. That's 31 to 32 players gone. And they're still right. So, and that's because Georgia is constantly in the top 3 or 4 in recruiting. So from the span of 2020 to this year, according to 24/7, Georgia has a top 3 recruiting class every one of those years except for one. And in that year, they were 4th. So Georgia can handle 21 players not showing up transferring. Because they have so many guys just waiting to play. They have 4 and 5 stars just waiting, just can't wait. Ridiculous. Been grinding at practice, and they finally, not only do they finally get to get in, they finally get to get in on a big stage. They go show out. Whereas Florida State's classes in that same span, their best class was 16th. The rest of them weren't even in the top 20. So this was a true build. So like I said, I gave Florida State hell for what they did to Willie Taggart. But I got to give Norvell his props. He truly built something, and he had a 4-year plan, and they built up to that 4-year plan for the culmination to be this year, and then for them to go undefeated in the regular season and in the ACC championship game and not even get a chance. I understand why. In today's landscape, I understand why all the players left. Like, fuck it. We're not getting a shot. This was our year. We were hoping for a New Year's Six last year. This year was our championship game. We were hoping to get into the college football playoff. We did not get in. So I have bigger aspirations. I'm trying to go to the NFL. So I'm not gonna play. So in the landscape that is college football today, that's not surprising to me. So like I said, where Georgia also had 32 players not play, they can afford it. Whereas Florida State couldn't. The guys that they were relying on, the guys that built this thing, they all didn't play. And it goes back to their recruiting class. Their recruiting class is in the 20s averaging. So they're not going to be equipped. They're a team that has to build. They're not a team equipped to just show up now. And when all those guys didn't play, their product showed. And so I don't think it's as simple as, oh, Florida State, you did this, that. Because if you're going to shit on Florida State, you have to shit on every team. Yeah, Florida State lost terribly.
Right, exactly.
But if you're going to shit on Florida State, you have to shit on every team that had players sit out. Because that's the landscape.
Well,
if you don't, nobody in the college football playoff had people sit out.
It's like I said last week. It's not an indictment on Florida State. I mean, it's fine that, you know, it gives the talking heads something to talk about like during this most recent week, but it's not an indictment on Florida State. It's an indictment. It's an indictment on the culture of college football. And again, indictment, I'm letting them use the word indictment because, I mean, I don't have a problem with this. Yeah. Is the system that the players have to deal with. They have to navigate it. I understand it. Listen, some of them are, I mean, hey, listen, I got an opportunity to go somewhere else to be a starter. I'm not going to risk it playing in a meaningless game. I understand you old dudes love the bowls, the pageantry, and the tradition.
But see,
nobody cares.
We got rid of
nobody cares.
And we got rid of the importance of the New Year's Six. And by we, I mean like the powers that be. I didn't have
shit. Yeah.
But the powers that be got rid of the the New Year's Six importance of the bowl games as soon as they start the college football playoff. Soon as you start the college football playoff, New Year's Six bowls, they're no longer, they're by the wayside. Nobody cares. It's irrelevant. Yeah. Like, you'll have younger guys and things like that who obviously they'll play because they got to come back. But the guys who don't have to come back, like, why would they play? Like, Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't play in his New Year's Six Bowl. And, you know what I'm saying? He's one of, or I guess they didn't have a New Year's Six Bowl, but he didn't play in their bowl game. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of the best players. But if they would have had a college football playoff spot, he would have played. That's what, so that's what I'm saying. Like, and same thing, like if Ohio State beats Michigan and it's flipped and Michigan's on the outside looking in, you think Blake Corum and all those seniors are playing? No, they're probably sitting out because that's not what they're playing for anymore. Before, getting to a New Year's Six Bowl meant something. Like, yeah, getting to the BCS championship was the ultimate goal, but a good side win on that if you didn't get to the BC, because only two teams got to the BCS. So if you didn't get to the BCS, New Year's Six was the next best thing. So, but now it's like college football playoff or bust, especially now that it's 12 teams, man, these bowl games are about to be so mean.
Oh yeah,
it's about to be the worst. Nobody's gonna care. It's just gonna be this, especially when you had the transfer portal opening. Yes. Before the season's over, like, you're gonna have so many people not playing. So yeah, I don't blame the culture of Florida State, because the culture of Florida State is clearly building into something. Because the first year they had 3 wins, they got 13 this year. Mm-hmm. So clearly they built something, but you took what they built up. You took what they built for. You took guys going through two-a-days and fucking getting chewed out by coaches in practice and all types of shit. They put up with all of that for 4 years to get to this point where they had a chance to play for a national championship, and the selection committee took that from them. Not nothing that happened on the field. The selection committee took that from them. So, yeah. I mean, and watching Alabama play, like, they didn't look like world beaters. Like, I'm not saying that Florida State was a better team, but I don't think it would have been a terrible game for Florida State to be in that versus Michigan based on what I saw from Alabama. Alabama didn't look great. Alabama didn't do anything special. Alabama was gifted one touchdown. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Alabama didn't look amazing to where it's like, oh yeah, the game was great. So it looks like, you know what I'm saying? The game was great. So yeah, everybody's going to say the committee got it right. But Alabama didn't look leaps and bounds above Florida State to me. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, yeah, based on Florida State's last game.
Well, that's
game.
The thing, though. But you can't even say that, because if they make the playoffs, then we're looking at a completely different Florida State team that takes the field. And, I mean,
Florida State's defense would have been able to play with Michigan's offense. I feel like that wholeheartedly. Florida State's now, would their second string quarterback been able to move the ball? That remains to be seen. But their defense definitely would have put up a fight. So, I mean, but like I said, based on what I seen from Alabama, they didn't do anything spectacular to where I'm like, oh, this is why you put them in instead of Florida State. They look all right. So, I mean, I think Florida State team that had everybody there, I think they could have put up an all right performance, because that's what I felt like Alabama did. They put up an all right performance. But because it was a good game, everybody's going to say the committee got it right. I'm not. So, you know, it is what it is at this point. Last time.
Water under the bridge.
Right. I was going to say, this is hopefully the last time I want to talk about the college football playoff do's and don'ts. So, you know, let's move on to the final game.
The world that you have created, that you have put all of these kids in. And it's a combination of, like you were just saying, oh, we want to hold on to the bowls and the tradition and whatever. And it just doesn't make sense in today's world.
It doesn't make sense. They don't even, I mean, you're letting teams below 500 or at 500 get into a bowl game, and these bowl games are meaningless. So, you know, I didn't watch, matter of fact, I didn't watch a single bowl game. I watched one bowl game that wasn't the college football playoff, and that was the Ohio State Missouri. And that was only because I was at the sports.
A couple on New Year's Day. I did watch a couple on New Year's Day, but I mean, a couple, not, well, no, let me rephrase that. I checked in on a couple. I can't say I watched a whole game. I ain't even watched Notre Dame this year.
It just wasn't worth it because everybody was sitting, everybody, like so many teams. I don't think there was a single team. I guess the Ole Miss Penn State game didn't have a lot of players sit out, but I didn't watch that. But for the most part, all the teams who weren't in the college football playoff, everybody was sitting out or transferring. So it just wasn't worth watching to me. Like I said, I watched the Ohio State Missouri game, but that wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I didn't like set up to watch that game. I was at the casino. Mm-hmm. I was playing some roulette. Sportsbook was right there. So, you know, I was just watching. So, you know, that was the only game outside of the college football playoff I watched. So, but speaking of which, the final game of the college football playoff is Michigan versus Washington. And I don't know, man. I've been listening to the talking heads talk about it. And so everybody is of the impression that, you know, Michigan's never seen. So first of all, everybody wants Michigan to lose because of the silliness that is the whole science.
Because they cheated. But
if you say they stole signs, right, you nix the whole sign ceiling. Before the Ohio State game, they won. Before the Iowa game, they won. Before the Alabama game, they won. So the whole sign stealing shit is out the window. Secondly, I'm still of the belief this isn't the only – you're not going to convince me that how these coaches are, how meticulous these coaches are, that Michigan was the only team stealing signs. You're telling me if there's a team, a coach, with how prepared these guys are that says, hey, on third down – they keep doing this one motion. What do they call it? Then you look, you put two and two together, like, oh, shit. Every time it's third and one or whatever, they run this same counterplay. This is the signal for it. Let's be on the lookout for it. Like, that's just, I don't know. To me, that's coaching. Like, and it's your job on the other side to be like, hey, we got to switch that up. Let's call that same sign, but let's have a counter for it, a counter for our counter. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
I guess that's, you know, for other people to debate, I guess. But so people are pointing out that Michigan's never seen an offense like Washington's. But I can make a point that Washington's offense has never seen a defense like Michigan's
never
pass
seen
rush.
A defense.
So,
like
you
Michigan.
Know what I'm saying? Like, that whole thing goes out the window. But for me, I disagree with the whole notion that Michigan's never seen a pass offense like this because they have. They've seen it. Harbaugh's whole stint at Michigan has been stopping this off or trying to stop this offense. It's Ohio State. Ohio State runs a similar offense. Ohio State runs the same similar or same type of offense, trying to spread it around, get downfield. Like, they run a similar offense to Washington.
I was just gonna say, DeBoer and Penix, transfer from Indiana. They both originally from Indiana. DeBoer was the offensive coordinator, and yes, IU runs exactly the same offense as Ohio State,
so
just without the people.
This is my, like, so okay, maybe not this year because Kyle McCord couldn't do the things that CJ Stroud last year could do, but Ohio State's offense was explosive as hell last year. They had receivers all over the place. They had a good running back. They had, obviously, C.J. Stroud's cooking in the NFL. He cooked in college. This is not something that's unfamiliar to this Michigan coaching staff. Now, knowing what's coming and being able to stop it, those are two different stories. I'm not saying that just because they've seen it before that they could stop it. I'm saying the notion
that they got an answer for it, right?
Right. The notion that, oh, they're not going to be prepared because they've never seen. No, they have seen this before. They see it at the end of every year when they play Ohio State. They've had to go through multiple guys. They've had to go through Fields. They had to go through C.J. Stroud. McCord's not as good as those two, but they still had run the same offense. They've had to deal with big receivers or big-time play receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Ibuka, Jackson Smith and Jigba. They've had to deal with big player receivers before, so they know what's coming. Now, will they be able to stop it? I don't know, because Penix, he is that dude when he has time. So will they be able to get pressure? And when it comes down to it, will Washington have their top running back? Because if they're one-dimensional, that kind of bodes better for Michigan to me, because they're just going to be able to pin their ears back and just come after you. They're not going to have any threat. So if Washington, what they've been able to do throughout their entire year, yeah, Penix gets a lot of love, as he should. He's had an amazing season. He should get a lot of praise. But also, their run game should get a lot of love, too, because they've consistently been able to run the ball. Like Dylan Johnson, he's been cooking this year. He's had a really good year. That's why everybody who, you know, pays attention to what's going on, been, you know, on Dylan Johnson watch, because if he plays and he plays well, then that bodes well. That's going to set them up for Penix to be able to do his thing. But you have an 1,100-yard on the season rusher. You know what I'm saying? He ran for 1,100 yards this year. That's huge. So if they miss that and they become one-dimensional, that bodes better for Michigan. So if he plays and he's able to establish his dominance like he's been doing, then, yeah, Michigan's going to have a long-ass day, because if Penix has time because, you know, off of play action or whatever, then he's going to be able to pick Michigan's secondary apart. And, I mean, it doesn't matter how good your pass rush is. If they can't get home, and you have a quarterback that's playing at the level of Penix, then you're not going to be able to do anything. So, but I still think it's going to be a really good game.
I think it's going to come down to the trenches. Yes. Michigan, 100%. Of course, you know, they have the number one defense nationally. I think they allow like 243 yards a game. Washington has the number one rated offensive line. So I don't know. I mean, whoever wins that battle ultimately will decide the game.
That's for both sides of the ball. That's for both sides.
I mean, if this was true for Michigan and Alabama, I say it's doubly true this week. Because and like you're saying, same thing. If Washington can't get any pressure, if Washington can't slow down that Michigan rushing attack, then it's gonna be a long night.
Yeah. So like for me, like if Braylon Trice is able to disrupt the Michigan run game and pass game, then that bodes really well for Washington. But if Washington's D-line gets pushed around and they're not able to get pressure, not able to get tackles for loss on that run game, then it's going to be a long night. So if Michigan's running and they're running the ball on first down and they're getting 5-6 yards, now it's second and four, like that's not gonna bode well for Washington throughout the game. But if they're able to stop that first down run and get them off of schedule, then yeah, that's gonna help them a lot. But like I said in the last show, Washington's defense, I mean, they're susceptible to giving up long run or long plays, just plays in general. Hold on, I think we lost them.
All right. Sorry about that. Had a little technical difficulty there. Where was I? Oh, yes. Michigan's offense versus Washington's defense. If Washington can't consistently get stops and allows Michigan to just pound the ball down the field, number one, that prevents Penix and the offense from, you know, doing their thing. But, you know, it could potentially get ugly. So, you know, just a couple of key matchups. But as you were saying, yes,
if Michigan's able to run the ball and they're getting 5-6 yards on first down and they're getting to second and four, you know, second and five, second and short, that's going to hurt Washington's defense. So if Braylon Trice and those guys can actually get pressure and get tackles for losses and things like that. Yeah, I upgraded my background, by the way. So if they get if they can get those types of stops on first down, then, yeah, that's going to do great because that means Penix can get the ball back and their offense can get to work. But if Michigan can do what they want to do, which is keep Penix on the sideline for those long, you know, 13, 14-play drives, eating up 6-7 minutes a clock, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what Washington wants. Washington's going to want – they're going to need quick three and outs or – you know what I'm saying? If they can get a couple three and outs or a couple big stops and get punts and not allow Michigan to go on those long scoring drives, then yeah. Because Michigan's not going to beat you with one play drives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas Washington can get – they can – their whole scoring drives can all be one play drive. They're built like that. Michigan's not built like that. Michigan's built for those long 10 to 12, you know, 13-play drives – where they're just grinding it up, you know what I'm saying? Getting the guys in the trenches and, you know, getting those long runs and then setting up the play action. So, but because of that, that's why I said, like, I really like the over in this game because, you know, whereas Michigan can score on this Washington defense, Washington's offense scores so quickly that it just allows for, I think, points to be scored in this game. Even if there's a scenario where Washington gets down, you know, their offense is built to sustain that. You know what I'm saying? Their offense is built to come back. Whereas Michigan's offense isn't built to come back, but Washington's defense is, they give up a lot of points. Like, they allowed Texas to get back in that game when it looked like it was over. It looked like Texas couldn't do anything, and then they let them come back and almost let them win it. So their defense is a more bend but don't break mentality. So that's why I like the over in this game. So that, I mean, that's what I'm betting. I'm taking that 56.5
is the line.
Yeah,
and you, so that. You're going over. All right.
Hell yeah. I'm taking the over.
So the spread is currently Michigan -4.5. I know you don't like to predict, but
I don't like scores. I don't like scores, but I think Michigan's gonna win. The more I look at it though, like I know initially I said I'd take Michigan in the spread. I don't want to take Michigan in the spread now. Now that I like looked at it and looked at so I think all of Washington's games except so since the Cal game, I want to say, let me double check. Since the Cal game back on September 23rd, all of Washington's games have been decided by 10 points or fewer. So I don't like that because I think there is a chance for a Washington backdoor cover. So basically what that means is for those who don't gamble and, you know, you have true lives and you care about your finances and you're not wasting your money. A backdoor cover is basically Washington has a 10-point lead with like a minute left and Washington scores on a deep, you know, deep bomb or something. Now it's a 3-point game. Now Washington covers, but Michigan's up 10. And so, you know, the spread is -4. So Washington scores on a last, you know what I'm saying, like a minute left. They score a touchdown.
A trash touchdown. Yeah.
Yeah. Now Michigan's only up 3. And then they kneel on the ball. And Washington covers because the spread for them was +4. They get a backdoor cover. Some bullshit like that. That's the type of stuff that you expect from a team with an offense like Washington to get a backdoor cover. If they don't win, I mean, they still could win. But If they get a backdoor, I wouldn't be surprised if they lose and get a backdoor cover. So that's why I don't like the spread for this one. I'd rather just take the Michigan money line and take the points. So that's my gambling tips for today for anybody looking to, you know, lose some money this weekend. Or I guess Monday.
There you go. Yeah, Monday night. Game is Monday.
But I think either way, though, for me, I think Harbaugh is probably out the door. But I don't think he should leave unless he's leaving for one job. The only job I think he should leave for is the Charger job.
So the word on the street is it's already been agreed upon. Waiting to get the national championship game out of the way.
That's the only job that would make sense. I mean, you got Herbert, who's shown flashes as being, you know, a true up and coming young quarterback. They got receivers. They got players on defense. You know, they got one of them Bosa boys. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have pieces. They just need a competent coach. So that's why if he didn't take the Chargers job, I don't know why he would leave. He's probably out of there. I mean, he was always an NFL guy. I thought the NFL just ran him up out of there.
I guess and
the 49ers ran him up out of there.
He's made Michigan a little bit too much like the NFL for some people's liking. And, I think his time at Michigan has run its course, but I mean, hey, if he leaves with the national champ, well, if they win, which I actually am kind of leaning towards Washington, but if they win, I do think he is gone. But you know, we will see.
I think he's out of there. Like, I think this was similar to how Florida State and all their guys, like, they were building for this. I think Michigan is in the same boat. Like, they're building for this. Like, they were, you know, all their guys came back for this opportunity. You know, the last 2 years, they've made the college football playoff, but they come up short. And I think everybody came back for this moment. So that's why I think, like, obviously win or lose, he's gone. But I think they have all him and his seniors have been setting up for a walk off into the sunset type of gig.
Oh yeah, so, no doubt.
And you know, a lot of people were clowning him, but I hope the brother gets the job, the offensive coordinator. I forget his name. You know, he looked a little foolish after the Penn State game, you know, crying all like that. But
this is for you, Coach Harbaugh.
You know what I'm saying? People was clowning him, but I mean, you know, good for him, man. You know what? Like, a lot of people, they clowned my man for showing some emotions, man. You know, you're not allowed to show emotions these days, but Sharon Moore, that's his name. Yeah. I hope he gets a job. The players seem to like him. He's called some really good games. You know, I think he's going to be, but I mean, the key is going to be if he can recruit at the same level. Yeah. Not even recruit, though. So much, because he's gonna have to be able to recruit, obviously, but also it's gonna be about can he build the way, you know what I'm saying, can he develop players the way Harbaugh was ever able to develop players, because you know, it's Michigan didn't have those, you know, top five recruiting classes and things like that, but they were constantly in that, you know, 10 to 15, 15 to 20 range pretty regularly. If he can continue that, then they should be straight if he could develop, because that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to development, like it comes down to everybody else. You could have like you could have all the best players, if you can't develop them, it doesn't mean anything. Like Ole Miss looks like they're going to have a great team next year. They've dominated the portal. But can Lane Kiffin actually develop those guys?
Turn them into a team. Yeah.
Right. But you know, that's an August podcast. You know, hey, what did I do? Did you do that?
That's me. I did it. Hey man, we experiment.
You know, okay, you see, I'm in the new living room, you know, I'm just like, got my piano over there. Shit. Oh, man. All right, so you know, playing with some backgrounds on this new video app. But SMU to the ACC means what?
It means that they probably shouldn't have joined the ACC, or I guess it means that Florida State may be right again. So NCAA is currently having their winter meetings, or maybe it's the college football playoff, who's actually having their winter meetings. So among the things that are being discussed is, of course, they are moving away from the 5-7 format, five champions and then seven at large bid. Oh, excuse me. They're moving to a 5-7 format. It previously was six, but the Pac-12 is now the Pac-2, and they don't get an auto bid.
The Pac-2 is crazy.
One of the more interesting conversations that come out of this is SMU, who recently made the jump from Conference USA to the ACC. Well, most of the times when a school makes a jump, there is a big difference in the playoff money. Around $1 million for a group of five teams and around $6 million for a P5 team. They don't want to share their money with SMU. So the debate right now is whether or not SMU deserves a full P5 share, or if they should stay at the G5 level. Wait. Now,
this is,
yes, even
this
though they're in the ACC.
No. I'm saying this is, so, you know, clarification. This is money, like, they get this $6 million this regardless, is, or if you make it.
Yes, this is the payout that is distributed if across the conference. Yes, if you're if your conference is involved, then this is okay.
Just making sure, just clearing it up for people. So is it the ACC blocking, or is it
no? It's not the ACC. It's everybody. It's literally everybody else.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not the Big 12 is, you know, they've always tried to they've always tried to stop those non-Texas smaller schools. You know what I'm saying? University of Texas has hindered Houston moving up for years, and the Big 12 stopped Houston from joining the Big 12 because Texas didn't want it. And then Texas goes to the SEC to make them look foolish. So this isn't, I mean, this is straight out of the Big 12 playbook. Like, I'm not saying the Big 12 is the ones behind this, but this is straight out of the Big 12 playbook. Like, if I'm SMU, like, what more do I got to do? I got accepted into a Power 5 school, and now I still can't get a check. Like, I can't get a check regardless.
And still can't. So, but not only that, I mean, I'm thinking about the larger picture. So SMU basically agreed to no money for, I think, 7, maybe 10 years.
That's for a conference.
For a conference that's already behind.
Yeah, like, it's about the, like, yeah. Everybody says the writing on the wall is for the ACC to crumble. So, I mean, basically, the only thing holding the ACC back is their ridiculous buyout clause. But, I mean, with the TV money that's being thrown around, it's only a matter of time before somebody takes some of those teams. Unless the ACC gets Notre Dame. That's the only thing that'll save the ACC. That's the only thing that can save the ACC right now. So, for SMU, you joined a conference that's dying and now you can't get paid. Like, I would, you know, I'd be questioning my leadership if I was,
hey man, the boost is
better. You're right, that's crazy.
Deep pockets, and
you know, Texas,
I mean, they do. Pockets, I know they do. I mean, everything's bigger in Texas, but I mean, it's just a slap in the face.
It is. It's crazy.
Come on, man. Let them have their money, man.
But I mean, that goes back to what we always talk about, you know, the powers that be that are in making the rules in the NCAA. They're not trying to share money with nobody. They don't not even share. The people who are at the table. Like, SMU is at the table right now, and now you still don't want to share it. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, that don't make no sense. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's going to be a lot of lawsuits and shit. The court's
so did you see
silly shit. This is the child's game.
The Florida AG
child game, and this is how they acted. Now, again, another waste of resources. Like, you're telling me everything going on in the world, Florida Attorney General, and you are fucking trying to sue the NCAA or investigate the NCAA about Florida State being left out. Like, come on, man.
Listen, I guarantee that the Attorney General's office, the governor's office in Florida, they are excited about this to get attention off of everything else that's going on.
So I don't know, man. What do you expect from a state that bans teaching the Civil War and shit? But you know, that's a conversation, I guess, for different podcasts.
Another podcast. There
you go. So, you know, but yeah, all right. So the NCAA and ESPN got a new deal with that money.
Yeah. So this is kind of related to the last story in that. So ESPN and the NCAA re-upped their contract. And when I say re-upped their contract for everything except men's basketball and college football. Big time college football. So 8 years, $920 million for the broadcast rights to more than four championships, including women's March Madness.
The key though, that you left out is not football. Because Fox Sports
is
trying to get into that football money. Yeah, they trying to get into that football money too. So, you know what I'm saying? ESPN, I got my questions for how they run business. But, looks like they might be losing some of that share. But $920 million for all other sports, that's crazy. But, but the athletes can't get paid.
Well, and again, I'm just, that just speaks to the disparity because, the Big Ten has a multi-billion dollar deal.
So that's what I'm saying. Like that, just those two deals alone are almost $2 billion or over $2 billion. The Big Ten deal is a billion and some change. So you have two TV contracts that are over $2 billion, but you're telling me there's no money to pay the players? That's crazy. You're telling me there's no way to give the players a salary? You're telling me there's no way to set a hard salary cap for every team and say, hey, this is what you can pay each player? You can't pay nothing more, nothing less. If they make more on NIL, that's on them. But this is the hard number that each player on your team can make, men and women. You're telling me we can't do that, but there are $2 billion of TV contracts, two TV contracts out there? That's fucking nuts. That's nuts. That makes no sense.
Listen, the administrators, you are taking the salary out of the pocket of a hardworking Big Ten administrator.
You want to talk about the fucking Florida AG in opening up a case about Florida getting out of the playoff? Let's open up a fucking case about the players not getting paid when there's fucking $2 billion worth of TV contracts from two networks. We're not even talking about all the other networks that are about to throw money at conferences, but we can't pay the players, man. The NCAA is just fucking snakes, man, through and through. The entire, every setup, it's just snakes. All just through and through. And I always reference this, and if you haven't watched it yet, I'm going to keep referencing it. Go watch the South Park skit about NCAA players.
Hey, Colorado.
Yes. Go watch that skit because it's hilarious and it highlights dramatically what's going on because this is crazy. You're telling me you can't give my man $60,000-$70,000 a year, but you can get a $920 million TV contract for the NCAA, but you can't slide some money to the players? That's crazy. That's nuts.
Yep.
Makes no sense. All right, man. Lastly, you got me all fired up. Man,
yeah, man, drop a couple of F-bombs there. I'm going to have to go back and edit that out because, you know, we're trying to get on YouTube, monetize this thing.
My bad, you know, just go ahead and hit
Hey, man, you kind of
it's crazy, man. I love it. It makes no sense. All right, so transition to the NBA. Again, I haven't watched a lot of the NBA, but I will say this. The little bit that I have watched, the NBA in-season tournament, thought they got it right. I thought that was a good move. You had teams playing, like actually caring and putting forth maximum effort for the play-in tournament that you usually don't see at the beginning of the season. Like, NBA players get, what, like 3 months? Like, if you're a good team, you go all the way to the finals, you get, what, 3 months, 2 months to rest because you end in June, so then you got July, August, September. So, yeah, 3 months before you're back to camp and preseason and all that. So, usually the first like 2 months of the two, 3 months of the NBA season, nobody cares. But I felt like the tournament and the playing games that I did watch this year, they look good. Like teams were playing hard, especially Indiana. I watched some of the Indiana.
They wanted games. That money.
Indiana, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Indiana, it's crazy how money just rules all, right? Indiana was getting after it though. Like they got a young team, like they wanted it. And I mean, you know, LeBron and them wanted it too. Shit, they played better in the play-in than they've had the regular season. All right, he just put out a quote saying that they were terrible, something like that, something to that effect. I'm misquoting him probably, but he basically said they weren't good. But they were good in the play-in tournament because everybody wanted that check. So. I thought the play-in tournament games were good. There was good atmospheres, like, you know, fans were showing up. The games were good, fun to watch for the most part. I mean, yeah, your terrible teams are going to be your terrible teams. Like
the shout out to the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know they're trying though. You know, Brandon Miller is looking good, and
he's coming along. He's coming along.
LaMelo's out, so you know, that's,
basically everybody's out. Yeah, poor Charlotte. I don't know what they're doing. They got to get rid of Gordon Hayward. Well, I mean, he only has a year. This is his last season god awful contract. So
it'll probably end up buying out or something crazy like that.
Of course, because that's the Hornets thing to do.
So I mean, they'll agree to a buyout or for lesser money or whatever, so he can go and be on a contender or some shit like that before the trade deadline. It's usually how that works for players with terrible contracts. But yeah, no, I'm happy to say, you know what I'm saying, the homie Tyrese Haliburton, I don't actually know him. I've just been a fan, and I've been telling everybody that he's going to be good, so I call him the homie. But I kept telling everybody, man, he's a good player, and he's been playing. Like, he's playing really good.
He is. The budding, I guess I'll call it rivalry, between Indy and Milwaukee. I'm looking forward to them potentially running into each other in the playoffs because they don't like each other. And
I like it. I miss that though. Like I want more teams to not like each other. You know what I'm saying? That's fun. Like that just makes the game actually fun. So I like rivalries, but I think that's a college sports fan at me, you know, actual rivalries are fun to watch. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Haliburton, he's averaging 24 points a game. He's averaging 12.8 assists per game. I mean, he's got Indiana playing well. He's got them in a good position. So, I mean, they're playing well. You know, Boston's playing well. Milwaukee's playing well. Philly, you know, they're third in the East, and they're looking good. Embiid, they finally decided that to let Maxey be the number two and get rid of fucking Harden. And I think that has worked out great for them because Maxey's playing. I mean, you know what you're going to get from him, but Maxey's playing really well. So surprisingly, though, what surprised me when I was looking is the Thunder, man. Like, you know,
the Thunder. I was just about to say the Thunder. Actually, I'm more surprised. Well, not more surprised. Minnesota has definitely been a surprise, but the Clippers, James Harden Minnesota's seems to have, of course they will. They, they aren't there. But I mean,
I don't believe in anything that they're selling me right now. Like Minnesota is setting up for one of those, like the Mavericks a while back. Like, damn, this was like 15 years ago. You remember they had the one seed and they won like 60 games. Then they lost to Baron Davis and the Golden State Warriors when they were the 8 seed. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, that was a long time ago. I don't remember how long ago it was, but it was a long time ago. But yeah, that's the type of that's the type of thing I see from Minnesota. Like, I just don't believe. I love Anthony Edwards. Like, he's a really good player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's hilarious when he does interviews. I'm a big fan of his. But
he took a leap this summer. Playing on the U.S. team definitely helped him out.
I don't believe in him. I don't.
OKC Phoenix though, is, man.
I know, yeah. Shay is looking real, good. Man. Shay is looking good. Chet Holmgren is looking really good. You know, they have a really young core. But you know that every time I see how well Shay is playing, it just reminds me that you know, the Hornets drafted him. So there's that. They drafted him and they traded him. So there is that.
Anytime Hornets trade up someone, or anytime the Hornets draft and trade someone,
they go on to be amazing.
He's going to be a superstar. Yeah.
Just check it. It's automatic. If the Hornets draft you and trade you, you're going to be a fucking superstar. Just you should just be hyped immediately. It's fucking nuts. I don't understand how everybody just works just since the beginning of time. If the Hornets draft you and trade you, you're going to be amazing. It's just it's rough, but yeah, no. The Nuggets are the Nuggets. What's his name? Still doesn't pass. Michael Porter Jr. still doesn't pass. Has one of the prettiest jump shots you'll ever see, but still doesn't pass. But yeah, I mean, I still think they're the team to beat, especially with Murray, and he was injured for a little bit, and I only know that because I tried to gamble and he wasn't there. So yeah, he's. That's the only way I know, man. I haven't paid attention. I bet on a couple players consistently, but on Jason Tatum consistently. I bet on Tyrese Maxey consistently. I bet on Tyrese Halliburton consistently. I bet on Joel Embiid. I bet on Joker, and I bet on Michael Porter Jr. I tried to bet on Jamal Murray, but he kept being out. So, but nah, the Nuggets are the Nuggets. You know what you're going to get from them. The thing with them, like any team that wins a championship, are they still going to be hungry? So
they can stay hungry.
Exactly. Yeah. Can they keep that hunger? I'm still shocked that Phoenix hasn't gotten it together yet. But you know, they still got KD and Booker, so maybe they you know, and the budding superstar, fucking Bol Bol, who everybody can't stop fucking talking about because he's had two good games. So apparently he's God's gift now. I mean, can we wait and see? Let me caveat. I'm not knocking Bol Bol, but he's had two good games. Can we let my man do a little bit more first? Like, damn. Everybody's just already calling him a superstar. It's like he's had two games, and now Shaq wants to be crowned as a fucking Nostradamus because he said Bol Bol was good. Like, dog, he's played two good games. He's still only averaging 3 points on the season. Can we relax for a little bit? Like, he had two good games off the bench, and then his third game, he didn't do shit. So can we relax for a little bit? Let's see how it plays out. Everybody wants to be first to just be like, hey, I called it. Like, ah, man, relax. Let that man cook for a little bit. Like, all right, yeah, you said he was going to be good. All right, let's see if he's going to be good. Give him some time. Like, damn, you know. I mean, don't, I like being right just as much as the next guy. But let's let it breathe for a little bit. My man had two good games, and everybody's like, I told you he's better than Wimby. Like, damn, he's played two games. Like, let's relax.
But, yeah. You know.
Maybe I'm crazy.
So, speaking of Wimby, what do you think so far?
I think, again, he's another one. Like, let's relax. Like, he, you know, the Spurs aren't even good.
Last place in the West.
He had a really good game against, I think it was the Bucks. He got a big block on Giannis, and I think that was his birthday, and I think he had a really good game. But other than that, like, he hasn't been a world beater. You know what I'm saying? Like, his rookie season doesn't look like LeBron's rookie season. So, like, can we relax? Yeah. Like, he may turn out to be a really good player. I don't know yet. But can we relax and just, like, hey, let's see how this shakes out first. He's had flashes where he looks good, and he's had flashes where he's done nothing. And I know he's had flashes where he's done nothing because I've been on him, and he's done nothing. So I don't know, he's already solidified when I've seen it with my own money that he has games where he doesn't do shit. Let's relax for a little bit.
Okay, so
season play out. Because really, if you look at it, Chet Holmgren's better than him. That's all I'm saying.
If you look at
the numbers, Holmgren from Oklahoma City is playing better than him. So let's relax on the whole Wimby thing when there are still guys playing better than him who are around the same, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he's a rookie. Yeah,
I still think that's fucking hung again. Since I'm going on rants today, he's a rookie. I hate that. Like, you can't say he's a rookie. Like, yeah, he was hurt, but he was still working with NBA shooting coaches. He was still working with NBA guys, like working on his game, watching film with NBA coaches. Like, he's not a rookie. Like, I can't stand when they do that. Like, he had a season-ending injury, so he didn't play last year. First season playing, he's been basically, you know what I'm saying? He's been
because last year he was riding side saddle.
because he has access
to the training staff. Oh yeah, no doubt. I want you to fully express your position. That's all. I'm just trying to get you on the record.
Yeah. Because he has access, I definitely agree. All the facilities and things like that. That definitely makes a difference.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, no doubt.
It does.
He
is playing better.
Okay, bet. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Since Wimby sucks and Bobo sucks.
I'm not saying he sucks. I'm saying let's chill out.
Are you still taking Victor over Bo? Victor over Bo.
I've never heard his first name. Yes, I'm taking.
Really?
Nobody calls him by his first name. Fucking Victor. He sounds like isn't that a Fantastic Four villain? he's just fucking Victor. That's a great name. Solid name. Your parents did you well. I'm still taking Wimbayana for sure.
I'm just checking, you know.
Yeah, I mean, again, he is still developing and, you know, but over the course of the year, he's done more. So this year, yeah, I'm taking Wimbayana, but I'm taking Chet Holmgren over all of them.
Because he's playing better. Let me follow that up. Do you think Bobo could average, could put up the numbers that Wimbayana is if he were the focal point in San Antonio?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
All right. Cool. I don't either.
Because if he could, he would be smart.
Then he would. And, you know, he'd be.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nope. If Phoenix's coaching staff is that incompetent that they have a guy who could average 20 points a game just on their bench playing spot minutes when people are out or hurt, and they're not playing him, then yeah, that's a level of incompetency that's never been seen before. So no, I don't think he would be. I think he has the ability to be a solid role player, which there's nothing wrong with that. But
yeah, no doubt.
A franchise player, I just haven't seen it yet. Again, he's played two good games of basketball, and everybody wants to crown him as the next franchise player. Like, let's relax. He played two. But I think part of that also, too, though, you got to understand Shaq knows these guys. So Shaq knows his dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different. Like, Shaq has a connection to this guy. So when Shaq says this kid is going to be good, he probably truly believes it because he's probably seen him in spaces that we've never seen him because he has access to him because he knows his dad and things like that. So, yeah, I think Shaq is speaking from a different level. Shaq is speaking from a level of he has a relationship with this kid. So, you know, he wants to see him succeed. So those two games meant more to Shaq than, you know, other people because Shaq has a personal relationship, I'm assuming, I would imagine. So he wants to see him do good from that standpoint. But from a basketball standpoint, it's two games. Like, let's relax. I mean, Wembanyama's played 30-something games, and I'm still saying relax because we've seen guys have amazing rookie seasons. And then where are they now? So we've seen guys win Rookie of the Year and not even get a second contract. So, you know, let's just relax. Let's just relax. So, you know, it's fun. But when your team is in last place, talk about how great you are. Let's talk about where you can improve because clearly there's room for improvement because one, you've lost me bets, and two, your team isn't doing well. So there's room for improvement, clearly. Flashes where he looks really good.
I love how the first thing that you mentioned was that he lost you bets. That being, you know,
well, the most important. My point is that's where I'm coming from because now I'm not watching Wembanyama from the standpoint of, ooh, he's going to be the next one. I'm watching him from the standpoint of, dog, I need you to get 20 points and you got 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, every player plays a bad game, but I'm just saying there's room for improvement. Especially when your team is in last place. But, you know, such is the gambling life. People aren't going to show up. But I'm saying I've watched you play, and there are times where you just stand and watch, you know, whereas you're not commanding the ball. There have been times where he commands the ball, and his teammates are just like, fuck you. But there are times where he gets lost. And maybe those two go hand in hand. He knows his teammates by now, and he knows, like, you know, they're trying to do their thing too. So maybe he just knows when he is and isn't going to get the ball, but there has been times where I've watched them play and I only, you know, and he didn't do anything. So, and I'm say I bring up the gambling because that's why I watched him play. Like I'm not a Wembanyama fan to where I'm like, oh, I got to watch you play. I watched you play because I'm gambling. I'm not watching you play as a fan. So, you know, I'm speaking truly unbiased bias because it's biased because it's my money, but it's unbiased because I really don't care about your future success because I'm not like a diehard Spurs fan. I only care about you in that moment.
And this is the type of commentary that is only available here.
That's all I got, man. That's all I got.
All right, man.
I'm not the type of gambler. I'm not cursing him because he lost me money. That's part of gambling. You're gonna lose. I'm saying the times that I've watched him play. Because I had money on him, he didn't do anything. And that, you know, there's room for improvement. That's all I'm saying. Chet Holmgren's playing better, too. That's also what I'm saying. So if we're talking about tall, lanky, skinny dudes, give me Chet over Bol Bol and Wembanyama right now.
Well, we will revisit this maybe next season.
Oh, hold on. I say it right now. What if they, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm saying right now.
I said we would.
Don't hold my feet to that fire. Like, hey, dog, you said Chet was better. Chet out the league 10 years later. Now Wembanyama's got 8 MVPs. Like, hold on. I said right now. Right now, I'm saying get out there. Get them boys some time to cook. Chet might become great or he might be trash. I don't know. Like, live in a society where everything has to happen right now. Like, damn, like, let the boys cook. It's been one, hasn't even been a full half of the season yet. We already want to decide who's good and who's not. Like, let's relax. Clearly, the Spurs aren't going to win a championship this year. So let's relax. They're probably mathematically already eliminated from the playoffs. I don't know. But let's relax.
5-29. Yeah. Not yet, but not far from it. Not far from it. Yeah,
it's pretty close. Yeah. So, like, let's give these you know, young players time to figure it out. Because, you know, you could have a good rookie year. I always say for all sports, it's really not about your rookie year. It's about your second year when people have film on you and they know your tendencies. Then can you adjust to teams' adjustments? Like, that's where sports, like, that's where the good players in sports separate themselves from the guys who are, you know, doing what I'm doing right now. Like, can you make that different jump? Like, okay, they know what I'm gonna do now. They know my favorite move. Boom, what's my second favorite move? Can they stop that? What's my counter to my favorite move? What's my counter to my second favorite move? Do you have that built up in you? If not, then that's gonna decide your career. But you know, I'm just a guy who is too lazy to cook dinner. And that's
hey man, that's the perfect way to end the show, man. That's the perfect way to end the show. Oh man. So I guess y'all are gonna see this on YouTube. Hit us up by email at thelazydadshow@icloud.com. You can find us everywhere that podcasts are available. And yeah, I'm about to go grab some grub and get ready to watch my Steelers and do some math.
Yeah, did you say do some math?
Yeah. Gotta do some math. Gotta, you know, figure out these calculations.
What does that even mean? You going to the moon?
No.
What are you doing math for?
I've tried to figure out what we need to happen to make the playoffs.
Oh, okay. I got you. Tracking now. All right, cool. Yeah, man, good luck with that. I'm probably about to watch some One Piece. So, all right, here it is.
Watch anime, so a Pittsburgh win, a Jaguars loss, a Bills loss, or a Texans and a Colts tie.
So they do need a tie.
We can lose. Yeah, we do need a tie. Well, we could. It can. It's one of the
Let's see if they win first.
We still got 22% chance. Well, nah, we have a chance to get in even if we lose. So,
Okay. Well,
there you go.
All right. I hope it works out for you.
Man, whatever.
But
man.
I mean, you're more than welcome to come to my side and just be like, hey, I'm no longer a fan of any team. Let's just gamble. Like, you're more than welcome to come over here.
It's more fun over here.
We're having a blast.
I gotta stick with the ones that I do.
Nah, man.
And I don't gamble, so you know.
Yeah, that's where you're missing out. I don't gamble for real. I be betting like $10. I'm not a true gambler. You know what I'm saying? It's just more fun to watch a game when you got $10 on the line. I don't know why.
Something on the line.
It's the euphoria.
No, I can agree with that.
What's that drug in your brain? Like, it's that much more. It's more fun, you know. But you're in our gambling group chat. We got some dudes who are struggling. One of my homeboys, that motherfucker be betting on table tennis and shit. Like, he doing it all. Like, boy, these drafted these gambling apps is getting it all from our group because we got
tennis,
football,
man.
Basketball, table tennis, racquetball, badminton. Man, bet on badminton the other day. I was like, dog. He's like, hey, man, I hit it. You right, man. I can't say shit to you. You hit it. Like, you won.
Oh, man.
Like, you know what you were betting on? He's like, nah, I just took the favorite. Oh, okay. Go for it. But, you know.
Oh man, if you or anyone you know has a gambling problem, I don't know the number to the hotline, but yeah, get them some help, man. Get them some help.
Yeah, man.
All right, y'all,
that's it.
We gonna get on out of here. Y'all enjoy this cold, rainy Saturday and probably Sunday too. It'll probably be cold and rainy by the time this gets uploaded. So,
yeah, it's still raining, still a lot of rain. So I'm just got to figure out what I'm gonna do. I guess these Oreos are still calling my name.
Hey, there you go. Sounds like a plan, man. All right, y'all. Well, we are out of here. This is Taman.
This is Tyrese.
We are the Lazy Dads, and hope y'all have a good one.
Peace.